here we are today. We've just finished reading your fantastic book, which we found absolutely amazing, didn't we, Yolanda?
We did. It was lovely. And thank you. This is actually the first book that an author has sent us.
So it's a great privilege, isn't it? Yeah.
And I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
And signed, Dear Assistance.
Yeah. With love and lux. What does lux actually mean to you,
Well,
Tom?
Lux is Latin for light.
Oh, wow. Oh, isn't that?
You should know that as Italian, surely.
Thinking of luxury.
We just thought luxury, so we thought let the luxury come into our lungs.
No.
That's what we like.
And on my email signature, I have in love, luck, L-U-K, and lux.
Right. Well, we did feel enlightened after reading your book.
Exactly. And if you mix love and lux together, love and light together, you end up having a lot of luck. So you end up having a charmed life. And lots of wonderful serendipities come your way without having to spend any energy.
Serendipities.
What's the secret then?
Love and light mixed together, And the love has to be unconditional and unrequited. Then when you mix those together, the energy you get from the light just then gives you some marvelous serendipities, and wonderful things happen, like the most perfect. The perfect publisher just turns up without you having to struggle. The perfect.
That's happened to us.
Yeah.
There you go.
After reading your book.
There you go.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And what else happens then? Perfect publisher.
Perfect publicist. And then the perfect readers turn up, who then tell other readers, and then it makes the whole concept of, you know, writing a book, publishing a book, and then promoting a book very, very easy, because, you know, the best books are the ones that sell by good word of mouth.
That's definitely,
right,
because they've got feeling, haven't they? Yeah. There's a real, here in Italy, they say sentimental.
Yeah, a connection.
A real
connection.
Yeah, imagine. You know what it's like with any product or service, is that, you know, you can sell it yourself, but the best salesperson is someone that's bought it and used it. And they tell other people about it. So, which of course, when we're using the internet and YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, it's just, isn't that a marvellous medium for us now as writers?
Yes. That
we can disseminate the message worldwide so easy.
I know. It's easy for us nowadays.
These are privileged times we're living in. We must say that.
Yeah. As humans, we've been incredibly clever. What we've done is, in silicon, we've made a copy of the carbon-based collective mind. So we've made a collective silicon mind.
Wow.
You're putting us into trance now, Tom.
We have read your book from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like what you said in one of your conversations, you have definitely seeded ideas in our mind.
Definitely.
And if we had to sort of pick one thing out, it would be quite difficult, because I think, you know, it's just like a collective sort of well-being.
Yeah, definitely.
Has come about.
Yeah, I think it's sort of kind of an unconscious learning process that goes on when you read, you know, your book, that you may not remember it at the time. You know, after you finish reading it, you might just think, yeah, I remember mind maps and I remember just a few aspects of the book. But then maybe you go off and you might be taking a walk, just like what you said, and ideas will pop into mind.
Yeah, and it's a trick for all writers. You know, when you're writing, the emotional state that you're in when you write the book, aside from whatever message the reader gets from the words, they pick up the emotional state of the author or the painter or the musician. It's kind of natural. So because I write in this eyes open meditative state, where what happens when you get into the state is quite magical, because 1 hour of elapsed time, you get about 4 hours work done. And this is one of the techniques that I teach on my workshops, which is great. So you become much more creative. But because I was in a kind of trancey meditative state, that doesn't mean that someone took over and someone else was writing it. I'm in control of the conscious flow. So because I write in that way, then when you read it, you also get induced in that state, which is one of the things, as you know, from hypnosis, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So it's eyes open, it's sort of hypnosis by words and writing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually what happens to us when we write. We just sometimes we don't even know what we're going to write about, because we're actually quite
and organized. I mean, we know you used to be an engineer, so we think you've probably got quite a logical mind.
Yeah.
I think your brain is probably really quite well connected, the left and the right brain, since you've done both.
Yeah.
To a very high standard.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I do is I always have a mind map for the book. So I have a mind map which shows me the structure of the book. But sometimes in the middle of the book, when I get stuck, I realise that that's not the plan. And then I mind map individual chapters, and that takes me in a kind of different way. And I got stuck on chapter 9 of the book. And the original chapter I planned to write, it just wasn't flowing. So what I did, I took the words light, bulb and moment, and I did a free association mind map on them. And what happened was amazing. Apart from I wrote the chapter, it's called Flavours of Thought. Then I had a light bulb moment. I had a light bulb moment in the middle of the light bulb moment book that thought must come in different flavours or colours.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so then I wrote a whole other book I wasn't even planning to write just after I finished writing that book.
Just one thought flows into another.
Yeah, we were stuck as well the other day when we're writing a book now. We were stuck on the cover. And I read your book with the mind maps and everything, and I just sort of thought, that's cool, but I don't think I'd actually do it because I'm not
being quite lazy,
lazy, and I think, my brain is sort of that way inclined.
Mm.
And then I suddenly said to you, I said, look, let's do a mind map.
Let's do it.
We just had a piece of paper, we did it, and it was amazing.
It was so easy. Yeah, it was so easy. And we got a great cover, the words to put on the cover of our new book.
Yeah.
Actually, from that mind map. And they're really lovely, actually. We love them.
Before reading your book, we would never have even considered mind maps because our kids do them at school. We've always just sort of said, that's not for us.
No.
You know how sometimes you say things aren't for you.
Yeah.
But after reading your book, we said yes.
Yeah,
and then it just sort of came naturally, and it was amazing. It was a light bulb moment for us.
That's true.
I get all the people I work with to do them, and kind of what happens is if you think about the time you might write. Let's say you're going to plan to write for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And you've got a busy day, but you manage to create a 2-hour window to write. Then the last thing you think I should do is spend 20 minutes of it in meditation. Then the last thing you should do is spend another 10 minutes doing a mind map, But if you do that, if you spend half an hour in kind of pre-planning and getting yourself into the zone, then the remaining 1.5 hours, you'll get then 3 hours work done. So what happens is you kind of expand time by taking time out. And it's quite unusual, but it does work. And, everyone says to me, how long did it take to write? That book must have taken ages to write. And none of my books take a long time to write. I take a long time to research. So I maybe think about them for 2 or 3 years. And I certainly take the books out. I take the theory of the books out into the field. And I do workshops and I test them out. I tested the light bulb moment book out in front of very left-brained, sceptical businessmen. And I thought, if I can do them, it's going to work on everybody,
That was very brave of you, yeah.
Well, you got to. I always go for the hardest one first. And I'm prepared to get shot down in flames nowadays. So.
No, there have been times when we've said, let's work with this person because she seems so hard to work with.
Yes.
We often do it as well. Yeah, it's a bit of a challenge,
isn't it? So, let's not just talk about me. You're writing books as well, aren't you? What's coming up for you?
We're doing so many things. We've got our English course with NLP and hypnosis in Italy. And we've just written a book for that, with all our stories in there. We're using our hypnosis and NLP. And now we've got a deal as well with an English publisher.
And who's that? Who's that?
That's it, with MX Publishing.
Oh, Steve at MX, he's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm so absolutely delighted.
He's
great. Well, you know what's weird about Steve? Apart from the fact he's a very, very intelligent chap and he's got an eclectic knowledge base. He publishes books on NLP and Sherlock Holmes. And would you believe it? I went to a wedding about 2 months ago and I met this guy who's 87. And he said, I've written a book. And he typed it out. I've written it. It was about Sherlock Holmes. And I said, send me a chapter. And he sent me a chapter through. I sent one chapter to Steve and he just fell in love with it. And he's got a publishing deal on the back of it. So, and this guy, he's an ex-film director. He's worked on loads of amazing films. He directed The Bitch, with Joan Collins and things like that. And at 87, he's got a new career as an author. I think that's fantastic.
Well, that's the beauty of writing, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no age. There's
is
no
that Jerry? What's his name?
Jerry O'Hara.
Jerry O'Hara.
I've just set up a blog for him, and I've set up a Twitter account, and he's just buying himself an iPad, and next week I'm going to teach him how to tweet and to blog, which is just
that's fantastic.
And then people say you can't learn a new thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, obviously, you know, all these kind of these sicknesses we have, like dementia, you know, there may well be a kind of genetic cause to them as well, but it does help certainly to keep your brain going as long as you can. And even if it's crosswords and Sudoku and that sort of stuff, it definitely helps.
Definitely. Well, I think if you have a passion for living, you've got something really passionate about, that keeps you young.
Yeah.
And it keeps you going, doesn't it?
Well, it's a bit sad, you know, that a lot of people do think that learning finishes at school or perhaps with a university master's degree, because it never really does finish. And I think that is the secret. One of the secrets of living a long, you know, happy and successful life is to keep on learning new things.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, the day you're dying sort of say what can I learn today. Yeah, that would be a good philosophy because there's always something new to learn. Yeah, and I think this day you actually, because we hear a lot of people that are around 40 ish or even 30 that say, oh, you know, I've done everything now, what's there to do. And that's really sad because you think, you know, they're so young or I'm past it now, and you think, yeah, a lot of them say I'm past it, especially when it comes to learning a new language or something like that. Yeah, they do have that.
Especially here in Italy, I think English people are more open-minded about learning and doing new things.
Well, there may be sort of in the culture, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's got cultural significance and bias, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it does, because it's quite, in England there is quite a lot of, you know, people do quite a lot of stuff outside there.
Yeah, they can get married when they're really elderly and things like that. It just wouldn't occur here.
Oh well, I've got to tell you the story of meeting Jerry. I was at a wedding, and the wedding was between a 73-year-old who'd called the Twittering Granny, who met a toy boy in an internet dating site who's 70.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
that goes to show, you know, that's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. That kind of stuff isn't happening yet. Where we're living at the moment, it's not happening yet. We'll probably get there, but it's not happening at this moment.
So you said you're doing workshops. So what's your next workshop then?
Yeah, I did. I've been doing loads of talks on the book. So I just come back from Devon in England this week, and I did a talk on the Lightbulb Moment book. And what I do is I show live people. There's five different ways to have Lightbulb Moments. And I demonstrate them live. So everyone that comes on the talk walks away by having had a lightbulb moment and picking up the techniques of how to do them. And it really augments and stretches what the book does. Because you know the book comes with some visualizations as well. So you can listen to them. And so it's kind of doing those live and those techniques live. And I do this mind mapping exercise where I get the biography of Edison. And I get everyone to pick out a page at random and a number of lines down at random. We pick out seed words from the biography of Edison, and we use that as the seed in the map. It's the first exercise in chapter one of the book, and it works incredibly well. And people have a lot of fun with that. But what was weird the other day, I had the book open at page 137, and I said to the audience, could you pick out a page at random? And someone shouted out 137, which is kind of weird, isn't it, when that kind of thing happens. Anyway, so that's kind of the talk. I do a workshop version. I do a full-day workshop version of that. But the thing that I'm really excited about at the moment is I ran my first Whole Mind Connection Day the other day.
Okay.
And that's, we say things like, oh, I wish I trusted my gut on that one, or my heart's not in it. And we've forgotten that these centres, and the scientists know this, they've actually got huge lots of neurons at these centres, which are based on the chakra points. And so kind of science is catching up with mysticism at the moment. And what you can do is by tuning in with your gut and tuning in with your heart, you become much more successful. You notice things a lot more. Your gut works 5 seconds ahead of your conscious mind, and it's always right. But your conscious mind, because we've got free will, can overrule it. So I teach the language of the gut and the heart, and they speak in certain languages, and I teach how to tune into them. And that's kind of the morning stuff, which is great. And we speak to the root mind and to the earth mother mind and all that sort of stuff, which is kind of interesting. But then in the afternoon, it gets a bit funky because we talk, we then communicate with the collective consciousness. And
that's really interesting.
And this is great for writers, a great trip for writers. You connect with the past you, which of course we have memories of the past you, but I go to the into life point, a place called the Akashic Records Office. So we go before you're even conceived and pick up what the life purpose is, which is great, very insightful. And it doesn't matter whether this exists or not, or whether it's just a metaphor, but certainly the regression techniques works really well. And then we do a progression technique and take people out into the future. And, you know, you design the perfect you, or if you're an author, what you can do is you can go to the future you that knows the words you haven't written yet and get them sent back to the present.
Pretty cool. That's so cool, yeah.
It's a good technique, yeah. And again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's real or not, so long as the output comes from it, yeah?
Well, that's right, because your imagination takes there. So by, you know, like what you said, by going there, then you come back and you'll have something.
You will indeed have something. It's absolutely amazing. You can manage it all that with all these, you know, people that come. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, the other thing about the day is the first thing we do, we spend most of the day in trance. So time, as we know it, kind of disappears. So in a 6 or 7 hour day, we get about 2 or 3 days worth of workshop done.
Yeah, you have a massive time distortion going on there then.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And how do you feel when you do these, you know, these days?
Well, I feel, funny enough, I'm always nervous when I do a new thing because I think some kind of fear does help you with the adrenaline to produce and this and stuff. Okay. I feel very humble. I feel very honoured to have been blessed with these gifts and also to be able to teach other people how to pick them up, which is great. But what happens is I always get about 2 or 3 massive light bulb moments during the session. So everyone else is picking new stuff up. And while I'm delivering this stuff, I go, just seems like amazing. And then from then I get my next book, and I've got 3 books now to write as a result of this day. Yeah.
So these days are amazing.
Yeah, so, and because we're in that space, we're all getting these kind of enlightenments, which is
just like a creative, a massive creative hub then on these workshops.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, thought. I mean, this collective thought, before reading your book, we'd heard about it and everything. Yeah. But now we do find ourselves thinking about it a lot.
Well, and serendipity, you know, nothing happens by chance and all this kind of thing. Yeah, this is pretty amazing stuff, and you find that it really does occur. Yeah. And the more you wonder about it, you think, well, wow, I mean, how comes I've just met that person, or this has just happened to me? You know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is, and you know, because of your NLP background, that if you spend time in your internal dialogue, that has the effect of blocking all the other signals out. You know,
bad way, yes.
Yeah. So you've got an internal dialogue is a pretty neat trick for sentient stardust to pull off, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Because, you know, we are literally made of stardust. That we're three sets of exploding suns have died to give us life, which is amazing. So it's amazing for that stardust to be self-aware. But that whole self-awareness sometimes then blocks the connection back to the collective consciousness.
That's right. Well, that's a lovely thought, isn't it? Yeah, that we're made of stardust. Gosh, you're going to get us so creative. I've got a feeling we're going to be writing tonight. Yeah, we knew you were going to inspire us, Tom.
Oh, well, talking about writing as well, I must share something else with you, which is because you know what happens when you're into this prolific writer. I've designed this program called Writing in Tune with the Moon.
Oh, God, we love that.
We sync with the moon phase, right, which is really, really helpful. And again, it doesn't matter if the moon's actually having that effect on us as human beings, or if just following a logical methodology always gets you to the end, you know, rather than trying to take the whole project on at once.
It doesn't really matter as long as it works.
Yeah, exactly. And I've had people that have gone from zero to finished book within a month, which is great.
Seems to be happening to us. Yeah, we seem to be doing that, don't we?
Yeah, and then what happens is, right, if you, so long as you're working with high intent, so you know where you want to get to, and you want your book to do more than just sell lots of books, you want it to make some sort of transformation out there with the readers. What happens is the universe seems to pick up on that, and then it sends you the perfect publisher just when you finish it. So all of that, you know, that whole paradigm about I'll write a book, I won't write a book because it's going to be, I'm going to get rejection letters or it's hard to get published.
Yeah.
People think like that.
Yeah, most people. Yeah.
I mean, before we had ever written a book, we used to think like that as well.
Yeah.
Before we studied NLP or anything, like 5 or 6 years ago, if anyone had said that we would be writers, we would have said,
authors.
No way. There's no way in hell. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's...
Well, I was aboard, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, I was aboard IT consultant in my mid-40s thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I was in that mindset that you were talking about of there must be more to life than this. I can't be doing this stuff forever.
Dormant mind, is that how you refer to it in the book?
Say again?
Is that the dormant mind?
Yeah, it's a dormant mind, yeah. So that's like, that's most of humanity, and there's nothing wrong with being a dormant mind because a dormant mind is that mind which is sentient stardust, which is a pretty neat trick for the universe to pull off, isn't it?
Yeah. But then
the awakening mind is all these people that go on the courses and this sort of stuff, and they realise there's something more. And then on the other side of the awakening mind is this merged mind, and that's when we're working separately. So we have our separate consciousness, but we're also working all together. And when we go to that state, then just life gets so easy. And then other things happen, which is amazing, that spontaneously you get the ability to heal.
Wow.
Spontaneously you get the ability to influence at a distance. And, you know, when I drove down to Devon and back on the drive down there, I was on the phone to a lady doing some distance healing. On the drive back, I was on the phone to a different lady doing some distance healing. And so, you know, and obviously that's using technology. It's a lovely mix of technology and mysticism at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't sign up to be a healer. I don't even have that on my website, you know. But these abilities are dormant in all of us and they awaken, which is lovely.
Gosh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you have studied hypnosis and hypnotherapy, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
So but what's great is imagine if we all became healers, then we could save a fortune on the National Health Services, couldn't we? And drugs and pharmaceuticals and all this sort of stuff.
They're always telling our doctors that we'll come back like in 3 months' time, we'll be okay.
They hardly ever believe us. If we do ever have something wrong with us, they'll say, oh, we'll be okay, we'll fix ourselves, you know.
Yeah, I think we've got to, the first point of call when you have a dis-ease, you know, dis-ease, is okay, what's going on in the mind? Before we look at anything else, what's going on in the mind? And that should be the first port of call for all people in the medical profession. Although, yeah, obviously medical science can do some amazing things with transplants and trauma and this sort of stuff. But, you know, if you're not normal, common sort of all garden diseases, it's always, I think, it's sourced in the mind.
So many like people that get acidic stomachs and headaches, you know, frequent headaches, and it all comes down to stress in the end.
Yeah,
probably like what you say, because they don't meditate. If they meditated 20 minutes a day, a lot of that would just disappear.
And by meditating, just as what you said, Tom, it doesn't mean that they have to sit down there and, you know, with their knees crossed. They can just simply take a walk.
Just
look up at the sky and look up at the oak trees or something
for sure. I must share with you a great pain that I've had recently. Last year, I had real problems with around my stomach area, my lower stomach on the right there, on the left. And I went to see this lady who does sports massage. And she also specializes in massaging women that have gone through pregnancy. And she said, and I'd just finished giving birth to my book. And she said, the muscles that you've got the problems with are the same muscles that women have problems with that have just given birth.
Goodness gracious.
I know. And I'm just finishing off one of the sequels to the books at the moment, and the pain's come back again.
That doesn't happen to us.
There you go.
Oh, well, Mamma Mia. Well, it's been fantastic talking to you, Tom. It really has been enlightening, hasn't it?
It has.
And what else can we say?
We leave on then? Is there anything you'd like to leave our viewers?
Well, I like always leaving my books on an open loop, and I think we should leave this video on an open loop, right? Which is a very good hypnosis technique, and we'll say this is going to be the first of many.
Wow!
And we'll leave it there. So tune in soon to the English Sisters and Tom channel, and we'll be coming back with some more magic and some more eruditions shortly.
I mean, we haven't talked about your other books either blocks, no, no, flavors of thought.
Yeah, there'll be more to come, more to come. Stay tuned.
The cube of karma we haven't spoken about.
No.
We'll do some more stuff, right?
More next time, definitely.
All right, so ciao for now.
Ciao for now. Bye-bye, Tom.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.